Dr. Robert Carter from Creation Ministries International, coming up next right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to the Parker J. Cole Show. I am your host, the Queen Parker J. I'm very excited for our show because we're going to be talking about the topic that got me into apologetics many years ago. We're going to be talking about creation. It's so important for us to understand that the question of our origins have a massive impact on a lot of things we think about life. And when I started down this journey, as some of you know the story, I was talking to an atheist. We were outside of my retail job. I worked from 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. And for a person who says he couldn't give two snips about God, why were we talking about him for 3 hours? At the end of that conversation, the atheist asked questions that at the time I did not have answers to. And I remember going into a period of intense study, intense reading, just so I can firm up my faith, and not just faith, but also reason. I think that's a very important part of the discussion when it comes to origins. So with me today is Dr. Robert Carter from Creation Ministry International. He is a connection from my good friend G Muse, who's an author as well as a researcher, and I want to thank G Muse for the connection. If you want to know about Creation Ministries International, go to creation.com. They have a wide variety of resources. They have lots of things for you to tackle the question about what it is about origins that you need to know. Is evolutionary processes the key to our existence? Is a special creation? Is it something else? These are questions that I challenge you to ask yourself, because if you ask yourself the question, you are going to have to discover the answer. I tell you all the time on the show, don't take my word for it. Go ahead and do your own research. I'm very excited to have Dr. Carter here with us. This show is pre-recorded, so we will not be taking any questions today. So just listen in to the conversation. And if you have more questions, we're going to give you an opportunity to contact Creation Ministry International with your questions, or just go to their website for resources that they have available. We'll be discussing that later on in the broadcast. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Conflict is expensive.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
And this is Get Hope.
Emotionally, financially, relationally, it diverts valuable energy essential to accomplishing just normal activities that we're involved in every day. A study of on-the-job issues ranked marriage and career conflicts as events that rob people personal peace and productivity. You know, Jesus came to resolve the ultimate conflict between humans and God, and he's still resolving conflict today. A conflicted relationship that comes before God in prayer suddenly gives way to avenues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Got a big conflict in your life? Well, tell Jesus about it in detail, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
In today's chaotic world, isn't it good to know there's hope? And if you'd like more hope, Lauren Libby has resources available,
including a free 30-day devotional he'd be happy to send to you.
Get yours today at GetHopeRadio.com.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Spec Faith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, we are talking to Dr. Robert Carter from Creation Ministries International. He's going to be helping us untackle the topic of origins. Is it important for you to ask this question for yourself, or should you just go on and just go with what is very popular today? A lot of people are afraid of critical thinking about these issues, and I think what's going to happen is that things are going to implode in such a manner that we can no longer live superficially in the whimsy of the day. God calls us to be discerning. He calls us to use the minds that he gave us. So I challenge you, if this is something that you haven't thought about before, go ahead and go to Creation Ministries International by going to creation.com and just see what they have to talk about. We know what the prevailing theory is when it comes to origins. Dr. Carter was converted to Christ at an early age but did not know what to do with the theory of evolution. He always knew what he wanted to believe but had no way to express what he was thinking and no evidence to support his views. In his freshman year of college, he was exposed to the information for creation for the first time and soon after adopted it as his modus operandi. He says he felt a tremendous joy when he realized his science and his religion were no longer at odds. This joy, and he says, Creation Magazine and the Journal of Creation, enabled him to get through the in-depth evolutionary training of his undergraduate and graduate programs with his faith intact. He obtained a B.S. in Applied Biology from the Georgia Institute of Technology in 1992. He then spent 4 years teaching high school biology, chemistry, physics, and electronics before going to the University of Miami to obtain his Ph.D. in marine biology. He successfully completed this program in 2003 with a dissertation on Cydian fluorescent proteins. While in Miami, he studied the genetics of pigmentation in corals and other invertebrates, designed and built an aquaculture facility for Caribbean corals, performed well over 500 scuba dives, many of them at night, and licensed a spinoff product of his research, a patented fluorescent protein, to a biotech company. I liked reading his bio because I'm letting you know this person is not like me. He doesn't have to grasp at context and elements of science. He knows it. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Dr. Robert Carter. Dr. Carter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Parker. Thanks for having me on. Hope everyone in the listening audience is doing well also.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here with me today. I really just want to delve right into the conversation because it's one that has a lot of volatility associated with it. And as I read your bio, the first thing that came to mind was the question of origins. And people today, they shy away from thinking deeply about these things. Instead of thinking deeply, if I don't like what you're saying, I just go ahead and cancel you because I don't like what you're saying. Yeah. But we can't always have that mentality. And so my first question to you is, why are our origins an important part of our purpose of being put on earth?
Oh man, this is that one question can take days and days to answer. But isn't it true that every single person wonders where we came from, why we're here? You know, if there's anything else after we die, those are important questions that people are struggling with for literally thousands of years. The way you answer that will affect how you approach life today, how you treat other people, what you know, if you're saving up for now or just living for the day, what you're doing with kids, and I mean, it affects everything in your life.
I like the fact that it does affect everything in your life. I was thinking of that time a few years ago in 2012 where they made that prediction that Jesus was coming, and he was coming on this particular day. I think it was Harold Camping, something like that. I can't remember his name.
There
were people who followed him, and they sold everything. They spent their cards and their money, got into debt because they said, it doesn't matter, Jesus is coming like he said. And then, surprise, everyone was left behind. And you felt bad about that because you wanted to tell people you shouldn't live like that. And even though that's in the religious world, it's still the same thing in those who are in the secular world, because the theory of macroevolution and evolutionary process is so pervasive that some people have said, oh, I'm an accident, or aren't we all here by accident, or it doesn't really matter if it's right or wrong, just do what you want to do. And I think that's very important when we talk about origins. So let's contrast these two points of view here. We have macroevolutionary processes bringing us into existence, and then we have the other side where special creation that you were designed brings us into existence. So I pulled up some Bible verses because Creation Ministries International does have a biblical view about creation. So I wanted to bring some of that up and just have you briefly discuss your thoughts on some of my notes that I wrote. So when I was writing this morning about it, I went to Jeremiah 1, verse 5, and I'm reading from the KJV, not because I'm a KJV owner, I just like KJV. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, in this regard, he's talking directly to the prophet Jeremiah, but if we were to extrapolate from this verse, how can we apply it as we pair this verse and how it applies to macroevolutionary processes or special creation?
That's really cool. What a neat way to introduce the subject. Biblically, we are here for a purpose. We're created for a purpose. God knows us. God understands us. God put us here on this earth, and if you read other verses, in order to glorify him. Humanity has a definite purpose for being, and it's to glorify God. But in the kind of big bang evolutionary, macroevolutionary sort of a world, there is no purpose to anything. We're just a cosmic accident. It just so happened that molecules got rearranged in a certain way a long time ago and led to life, which then led to other life, which then finally led to people. And there's not really a purpose. In fact, when we die, the universe isn't going to care. If the sun blew up one day and all life on Earth got extinguished, the universe wouldn't care one lick about it. But in the biblical sense, everything does have an important reason for being. And we are loved by God, and we're here for a reason.
This becomes important as we look at the number of suicide rates that have gone up in the last several years, particularly among the children. There are 9 and 10-year-olds taking their lives. And you sit there and you go, what could possibly be happening to you at 9 years old that you think it is the end for you, that you think you no longer have a purpose? This becomes extremely important because if you believe that you're just an accident that just popped into existence millions of years ago, then it doesn't matter how old you are that you take your life. It doesn't matter and no one cares. As you may know, Dr. Carter, I host authors all day long on this show and on other shows. And I talk about speculative fiction on speculativefiction.com. And one of the articles I did a couple of years ago was about a cartoon called Rick and Morty. And in Rick and Morty, you follow the scientist and his son, his grandson, who go through multiple universes, and they see themselves and talk. It's actually a very interesting show, kind of crude and coarse, but it's as coarse as I'll get out as I'll go. There's a scene in there where the scientist, who is Rick, tells Morty, there is no God. Let me rip that Band-Aid off you right now. That's what he says in here. And the creators of the show have a nihilistic point of view of the world. They say it doesn't matter about these deep questions of life. Just go ahead and live your life like you want to. And these are the creators of the show. This is what they're using their platform to promote. And then when you hear about young children who may be watching the same show I'm watching. I'm an adult, but I'm watching the same show, and these kids are watching the same show. You have to ask yourself, is this something that I want my child to believe? So let's talk about how the nihilistic viewpoint of macroevolutionary processes can be a detriment.
Yeah, but you know, you can also use nihilism as a witnessing tool because people inherently don't like it. And if you hit them with, you know, they say something, and then you say, so what? According to your view, it's irrelevant. I mean, so what if global warming? So what if a meteor strikes the Earth? So what if the polar bears go extinct? So what if you die? In your own way of thinking, you're nothing but an empty vapor. That is incredibly uncomfortable. And so then we can just turn that around and say, but you know, it's not actually true. You are special and you are loved by God. Sometimes that can open up a door. But those little inferences, those little things, that thing you said about the Rick and Morty show, we see that everywhere. This little teeny, and if someone's trying to hold on to like a weak faith and they're just trying to tough it out, and you get that dripping sound, that very slow little, you know, every couple of days you hit something in the media or something on a movie or something, and they're just telling you to give up, just forget about it, doesn't matter. That has a very strong effect on a lot of people. It's really sad. Darwin himself in his autobiography basically said what that scientist said on that cartoon. He said that, I'm not going to quote it directly, using 1800s language, but basically, according to his way of thinking, people should just follow the impulse and the instincts which seem the best or are the strongest to them. Well, that's called hedonism. So straight out of the author of you know, the beginning of evolutionary theory, he said the only logical conclusion is nihilistic hedonism. Do what you want to do because there's no reason for anything. Oh, that's so sad.
It definitely is. And it brings me to my next point. I was going to ask something else, but just the beautiful way you framed that brings me to another point I want to talk about. Because using nihilism, like you said, people say, what doesn't matter? And I was thinking about a lot of the social justice issues are going on today and how so many people were upset about the killings happening last year that it made a huge sweep of conversation and dialogue, at least in the U.S., that needed to be had. I'll be the first to say it needed to happen. Dialogue needed to be open about racial relations in the U.S.
Absolutely.
And it brought me to the idea about morals. In the macroevolutionary process of origins, evil does not exist. It is simply an element of growth. It seems to be a check and balance. So the strong survive, the weak perish. So there's a check and balance. And horrible things that happen are occurrences that don't matter. So what if George Floyd got hurt? So what if Ahmaud Arbery got hurt? So what if that grandma and her son got hurt in the Costco? So what if Asian Americans are being attacked? So what? So what? It doesn't matter because our actions don't have an impact on the universe at large. At least that's what the prevailing nihilistic thought is. So I went to Jeremiah 17:9, and in Jeremiah was always hollering at God, by the way, but Jeremiah, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Having the fact that the heart is deceitful because of sin, having know that there is a definite evil and good, that there are things that are right and wrong, this helps us, doesn't hinder us at all. So with the macroevolutionary process of origins, you have basically checks and balances, strong and weak. But when the creation, special creation worldview, you have things are right and things are wrong, and here's how you can know. So go ahead and expand on that for me.
To unpack what you just said would take days again, but it makes it fun. Okay, let me give you an example. In the evolutionary worldview, it's just genes. Whoever genes win, win. And it doesn't matter how they win. It's just you just happen to have more of your genes now than someone else. So someone like Genghis Khan, right? Mongolian warlord, a couple hundred years ago, he sweeps across Europe, he sweeps across Asia. He basically exterminates humongous swaths of people. And today, about one out of every 200 people in the world is descended from him. Well, how is that possible? He raped and pillaged and murdered his way across Asia and West and Eastern Europe. And you could not, in an evolutionary scenario, say that was wrong because he won. His genes are here. Or take someone like Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood. She deliberately placed her clinics in African-American and poor white communities. Because she knew there were two ways to win in evolution. You can either kill off the other people, like Genghis Khan, or prevent the other people from having children. And therefore, her genes would be better represented in the future because the other people had less kids. That's pretty creepy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But that's the natural outworking of if you absolutely apply logically just this naturalistic, the universe came to being by itself, there's no God, there's no controlling, there's no guide for morality, we just have to be good people if we can. If you apply that, there is no reason to ever treat anyone nicely. There's no reason not to murder people and take their stuff. There's no reason why you'd have any sort of racial reconciliation because some people are going to believe that their race is superior to another race. That's a natural outworking of evolutionary theory. And yet, biblically, we come from Adam and Eve a few thousand years ago. In fact, we come from Noah and his family maybe 4,500 years ago. All people in the world are descended from Adam and Eve. If you think about it, the average human generation time is about 30 years. There's only been about 150 or two, maybe 200 generations in all of human history that makes us all kissing cousins. And if we're created in the image of God and a person of a different color than me has equal worth to me, in the eyes of God, I don't care economically, in the eyes of God, they're equal worth, that puts us all on equal footing. And it changes the way we interact with other people when we put it into that kind of context. There is a Y chromosome in Northwest Europe that I have. 80% of Northwestern males have it. It also appears in Central Africa, in Cameroon, south of Lake Chad, dead center in Africa. These men and women, but the men who have this, have the darkest skin of anyone on the planet, and they're my cousins. In fact, I'm more closely related to them than possibly to my Irish great-great-great-grandfather's next-door neighbor, because they could have come from a different branch in the family tree. And if I could be closer related to, I'm as white as can be, but if I'm as closely related to someone who's as black as can be, and our ancestor was recent, we get to ask the question, what even is a race? Genetically, they don't exist. Socially, they exist, sure. We have all sorts of cultural differences, but genetically, the scientists have absolutely been unable to say, okay, this is one race and this is another race. Because people are people, and there are two people living together. It doesn't take long before you have Romeo and Juliet, and all of a sudden there's children from both populations, and people have always blended.
I like the example that you mentioned, Dr. Carter, and I didn't know that, and that's why I'm so glad that you're on the show, because later on in the broadcast, we're going to talk about the genetics and some of the genetic work that you're working on, because I agree with you that there is no race, and in my particular situation, my husband is Irish and German, and I was laughing one time. Someone said, wow, so he could really hold his liquor, can't he? Possibly, I don't know, because he doesn't drink around me. I grew up Baptist, and you know Baptist people, we don't do the drinking, so he doesn't drink around me. But yeah, I love that you said kissy cousins, too. Before I go to break, I was reminded of something that happened ages ago, and my older sister, we were at a family function, and she liked one of the guys at this family function. So they had, you know, we were 12, 13, you know, you're a boyfriend for like a day or something. And he told her, oh, that's my girlfriend over there. She's like, oh, yeah, that's my boyfriend. And our one cousin looked at us. He said, y'all know y'all cousins, right? So when that happened, my sister, she was so embarrassed. And he was so embarrassed. But they really liked each other. But like I said, they were 12, 13. When was that going to go anywhere? Yeah. But it was just so funny. But they would have been kissing cousins if another cousin had to come along and said, hey, you guys are related. I hate to break it to you. Yeah, but I, you know, your talk there just brought that to mind, and I always try to share that with our listeners out there. For those of you who are listening, I'm talking to Dr. Robert Carter from Creation Ministries International, and if you're just titillated by some of the things that he said, make sure you go to creation.com to view their resources, books, audio files, podcasts, and so much more about creation. When we come back, we're going to delve more into creation, but I'm going to be talking more about creation. Some people have a certain idea about what creation is, but we're going to go deeper into that. So just stay tuned right there. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking today to Dr. Robert Carter from Creation Ministries International, and he is just helping us to just scratch the surface about origins and all the many different avenues you can take with this topic. And Dr. Carter, once again, thank you so much for being here with us. One of the things you said before the broadcast, you started throwing out numbers, and some of the numbers you started throwing out was 4,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and people who are very familiar with evolution tend to think in billions and millions of years. But this becomes problematic, I think, because a lot of the science that we have gears itself toward a different point of view. People who are familiar with talks about origins, as soon as they hear creation, they think it's just about a young earth and a global flood. But I'd like for you to expand what it means to be a creation ministry like Creation Ministries International. And how can we help our listeners understand that as a creationist, there is more to the term than just the age of the earth and the global flood?
Great question. But again, it's a question with so many possible answers, hard to know what exactly to say. But here's what I like to frame it this way. There's two basic viewpoints on why the universe exists. One is called naturalism, and that is that natural processes can explain everything. The other is creationism, that the idea that God created the universe. Now, underneath that, there is old earth creation, young earth creation, various things like that. I happen to be a young earth creationist, but the reason for that is, first, I reject the idea that natural processes can explain everything. Big Bang's not explained in nature. There's no physics behind it. There's no reason why it expanded, no reason why it stopped, no reason why it expanded at the rate that it did. That's just guesses. I don't believe for a second that life is going to evolve from non-life. There's nothing in science to suggest that is true. But once we reject naturalism, then we have a whole bunch of possibilities that open up. And one of them is what we call young earth creationism. Because if God's going to create the universe, the way the universe looks has nothing to do with nature or natural processes. It is, here's how he created it. He could have created a star that was ready to collapse and go supernova. He could create another star that's perfectly stable and would burn for billions of years. He could have created a galaxy that looks like it's collapsing upon itself, or another one with rings or spokes and things like that. He could do anything he wants. And so we're looking at an apparently mature universe that God created, because nature doesn't explain it. I don't know if that was too complicated for most people, but it's really important to get the difference between naturalism and creationism.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Dr. Carter. I was also thinking about the fact that when Adam was created, he was created mature. This becomes extremely significant because it lets us know that God is the one who can work outside of processes that keep us going. Like when we're born from in the zygote, you know, mom and dad get together, we're born from the zygote, and it grows and grows and grows. But I am of the belief that the moment mom and dad come together, a life is created right then. Our soul is created. Boom, we are a living, breathing entity, if you will. And that's
completely
what I believe
agree.
Wholeheartedly. My physical body is still dividing and turning into things, but I believe I have thoughts that moment. Maybe I can't articulate them. I don't remember what I thought when I was first born. Who knows? Okay? I could have thought, wow, it's dark in here. Who knows what I could have thought? But at that time, I am born. I hate to use Charles Dickens, but there is something to that. I am born. And so the other thing about creation is that creationists is that we have a view about the Bible that is authoritative. And this comes into the thought process of a theistic evolutionist. And I know a young man, wonderful brother in Christ. Don't misunderstand me. Wonderful brother in Christ. He tackles some really deep philosophical questions, but I disagree with him on his belief on origins. And so he went from being a young earth creationist to being an old earth creationist. Now he's a theistic evolutionist, and he goes through his thought process of why he does that. So one of the things that came to mind is when we accept theistic evolutionists, and there are so many people who think, well, God used the process of evolution to bring us into being. It comes to the fact that can we trust the Bible and what it says about ourselves and God if we follow a theistic evolution sort of mindset? What are your thoughts about that?
Wonderful question. And I know lots of people that wrestle with these things. In fact, I have wrestled with these things also, so it's not something brand new to most people. But if we say naturalism doesn't explain the universe, God had to create it, and the question of how did he create it next comes up. Did he take billions of years? Did he take 6 days? Well, God could have done it any way he wished. It doesn't take away from the glory of majesty or the power of God to do it slowly or quickly or to snap his fingers and have everything in existence instantaneously. He could have done it any way he wished. But if we have this thing called the Bible and that this is communicated to us by God, and if words have meaning, books of Genesis clearly indicate that God created the universe on 6 consecutive days. There's no way around that. If you wanted to write in Hebrew, God created the universe in 6 consecutive days, you'd write it exactly like Genesis 1 sounds. There's lots of ways to express long periods of time in Hebrew, and none of those phrases exist in Genesis 1, 2, 3. And then if you look at the what are called the chronogenealogies, like if you go on creation.com, just type in genealogy, you'll come up with the family tree of Jesus, and it goes all the way back to Adam. But the cool thing about the family tree in Genesis 5 and Genesis 11, it's not just a list of names, it's how old the father was when his son was born. And you can use that information, age of the earth, because Adam was created at the beginning of the age of the earth. And we know he was 120 years old when his son Seth was born. And Seth was so old when the next son was born. And we go from there all the way up to Roman times. So we know how old the earth is, according to the Bible. And now, is that a challenge? Yeah, because naturalistic science says the opposite. And most scientists, most very smart people, agree with naturalism. And out of naturalism naturally comes the idea that things happen slowly and that it would take billions of years to explain the universe. But that's not true if God created the universe.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, Dr. Carter. It brings something to mind I've thought about, because with theistic evolution, the idea of Adam and Eve is swept away. They are either a molecule to man type of entity or just an archetype. One of the gentlemen I saw who is a theistic evolutionist says, well, Adam is an archetype of Christ. But then when I went to scripture, he says, by one man sin enter into the world, and then Jesus Christ is the second Adam. I'm thinking to myself, well, if Adam wasn't real, then how does sin enter into the world? And then another thing that I saw on creation.com that I thought was brilliant is that when Jesus said, and we believe he is the Son of God, because theistic evolutionists, they do believe Jesus is the Son of God. They're not knocking that. They said, well, the wages of sin is death. If the wages of sin is death, and then we have millions of years of death happening, then the wages of sin aren't death. So how do you get past these two opposing thoughts? And so I went to scripture again, and I went to Luke chapter 16, where Jesus is talking about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man is in hell, and he says, just go back. If someone comes back from the dead, go back, and they'll believe. And Abraham says they have Moses and the prophets to let them hear. And this was interesting to me when I was looking at it today, because he said they have scripture. And he said, if they have scripture, they're not going to believe someone came back from the dead, but they have scripture. And I thought about that really intently when I was preparing for the show today. I said, because in other words, he's saying the scripture is what we need to know about God. Miracles, which are awesome, don't misunderstand, they're awesome, but they don't necessarily point us to God, because we are easily demystified by miracles. Think about it. You go, wow, I got saved in a really interesting way, and then tomorrow we forget about it because we're easily dismystified by it. So I want you to talk about that, because being a creationist isn't just about young earth creationists, isn't just about global flood. It's about taking the Bible at its word as you possibly can. We know there are some, you know, stuff we don't quite understand. We're fully aware of that. But talk about that, too.
Well, biblical authority is really important. I mean, if you're a Christian, biblical authority is important. And so we have to decide how much authority we're going to give it, how much, you know, weight of the history in the Bible are we going to believe? Or even worse, when does the Bible start being true? Genesis, which is written like history, isn't history then you got to put your finger on a point. Okay, here's where the history starts. Is that Abraham maybe? Maybe it's Moses? Maybe it's King David? That means that anything before that is mythology. Somebody made it up. Now, I know a lot of I'll call them liberal. It's not really the right word, but a lot of liberal theologians, they'll talk about structure and form, and they'll try to use hoity-toity, big-sounding words to try to dismiss the obvious historicity of Genesis. You know, it's always an ancient Near Eastern mythology sort of thing, or it's meant as a to point us in a direction, but it's not really written as fact, and yet it is written like it's fact. I mean, the way the Old Testament and the New Testament authors quote Genesis, they quote Genesis and the people in Genesis the same way they quote King David. They thought the people in Genesis were real historical figures, including Adam, including Cain, including Noah. And if that's just the mythology, then what on earth is New Testament theology based on? To the challenge of some of the listeners out there. Because I know there's people listening to this going, no way, no, I don't believe you, Carter. Well, I just gave a challenge. Where does the Bible start being true?
It's a valid point, Dr. Carter. That's one of the reasons why when I talked to that atheist many years ago, he did answer had questions that I didn't have answers to at the time. Ministries like yourself and others have really helped firm up my faith. And I remember reading Genesis 1 again with a whole new appreciation that what I read is bent in logic and is bent in truth and facts, any worldview. And I'm just talking about generally speaking, not everything. Like with creation, we know that there are some ideas that we don't have answers to. But I fully admit that. I fully admit I don't have answers to every single question. Because one of the criticisms that come against when it comes to specific creationists is, what about this, what about that? The problem is that we don't even get the opportunity to have the thoughts. We don't have the platform. I was reading recently, there was a gentleman saying young earth creation is going to be the death of critical thinking. And I was thinking to myself, you have to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. I said, yeah. We're already dealing with suicide. We're already dealing with all sorts of issues, but this is the one that's going to kill. This is going to kill humanity at large. You know, this is what's going to do it. So whatever. I just kind of go, whatever. Another thing, too, as we get ready to – oh, wow, we're getting close to the end of our show here. I'm going to ask a couple questions very quickly. The views about God's love and how we serve him reflect in how we treat each other. And also that service to God and love is more than anything we can physically do. That was a note I had earlier. And then I went to the scriptures, and one of the scribes asked Christ, you know, what is the first commandment? And Jesus says the first commandment is the Lord our God is one, and love with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. And the scribe looks at him and says, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. Basically, I'm paraphrasing for time. He said, that makes a lot of sense. And he said, because if you love with all your heart and understanding and the soul, then it's more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And so in other words, we're to extrapolate and put into what we're trying to talk about here, being created for a purpose means that there's really nothing we can do to get to God, because God created us first. We didn't create him. And that's another subject for another time. The fact that he loves us, the fact that he put us a purpose, this seems to me a better understanding of why we are here, because he loves us and that we are meant for a community, we're meant for worship, and we're meant to glorify God. And the way we glorify God is to help other people. So a lot of the social justice issues, there are people highly upset at acts of racism, particularly here in the U.S., that are happening. We heard about shootings in the last week or two. We heard about attacks on Asian Americans.
Right near where I live.
These are horrible things that happen, but it lets us know that instead of us getting mad, he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is something that only works in the creation mindset. It would not work in an evolutionary one. Now, correct me where I'm wrong, Dr. Carter.
Yeah, I think you're fine on all cylinders here. And I think it's a message that more people need to hear. I mean, when I look at someone who's African-American, honestly, I might be a little skeptical because I don't know what they're thinking. They might hate me. They might think I'm an oppressor. But I try, as a human being, but other human beings, any race, designation, rich, poor, whatever, and think of them as descendants of Adam, as children of God, equally sinful to me, as confused as I am on any number of subjects. And the biggest question is, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he rose from the dead and he paid the penalty that you deserve? And getting there is sometimes difficult because these cultural barriers are being set up around us.
That's the sad part, is that they're using culture over salvation. I heard recently someone said, well, we shouldn't plant churches because of white colonization. And I was thinking, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. It's sort of like up there with defund the police. I said, no, you don't want to defund the police. Not everyone needs to be not protected. And we saw that happen in Seattle. We saw that whole case. We saw the case study like happen in real life, you know, what happened when you got rid of the police. We saw that happen. So, you know, and when I hear that, it just makes me sad. Go ahead.
Especially when you consider that the first place that Christianity went outside of Israel was Africa. When Philip baptized an Ethiopian eunuch, he was on his way back to Africa. Africa a long time before it got to Europe or Asia or any place else. So Christianity is not a white man's religion at all. Considering it came from the Middle East anyway, that's not Europe.
No.
And it got to other places along. I mean, yeah, places in Europe didn't even hear anything about the gospel until like 1000 AD, 1200 AD.
And these are things we need to encourage our listeners out there to do your own research. If you don't believe what Dr. Carter is saying, you are more than welcome to do that. Remember, use the critical thinking skills that God gave you. And part of that, I cannot let this show end without asking you two more questions. The first question has to do with your project outside of Creation Ministries International, because that's how I met you through G-Muse, was your biblical genetics. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes.
I'm very much interested in it.
Okay. It's not really outside CMI or Creation Ministries International. It's paralleling it. Basically, I said, hey, boss, I got all this information that I never have time to present if I'm speaking at a church or a Sunday school or a youth group or something like that. There's so much more. So I said, can I have permission to just build a whole series of videos on all the other things that I never get to talk about? It's like, yeah, okay. And that's where biblicalgenetics.com comes from. It's everything that I as a geneticist want to talk about that I never have time to talk about. So races, how ancestry.com works, how genetics works, how similar people are, some failing of evolutionary theory, something like that.
And I want to encourage our listeners out there to check it out. I've gone through it too, and I'm in his Facebook group, and I don't comment a lot because I'm busy doing other things, but I'll look in there and see some very interesting stuff that you have in there. It's just fascinating. And so what type of resources can CMI, which is Creation Ministries International, provide for our listeners who want to do their own study about origins from a biblical worldview?
Well, the biggest resource is just creation.com. That's got 45 years of collected writings from our ministry. Probably 13,000 articles or something like that. And after that, there's a number of books on all sorts of different topics. So, the listener says, I'm interested in this. Well, into the search engine, it's going to come up with an article or two, and it'll be linked to some books or DVDs or maybe a digital download or something like that. I mean, the racist question, I had an article that I wrote a couple years ago. It's called Inbreeding and the Origin of Races. Basically, just using nothing but the family tree of the 12 tribes of Israel, I calculated how inbred they were, and it was shocking. And then I said, this explains where races pop up around the world. The reason people look different than other people is that they're not mixing, or historically they haven't mixed, because as soon as you start mixing, the races blend together. And the best way to explain that is that we've only been around a few thousand years. So after Noah's flood, we had this thing called the Tower of Babel. People spread out, and they got separated from one another. And that's why we have people that look different than other people. Little things like that. Creation.com is a great source.
Dr. Carter, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here today. I really appreciate it. And hopefully when your schedule permits, we would love to have you back to tackle this topic some more in many other different ways. But really appreciate having you on the show today.
You're welcome. I hope everyone is blessed by some of this conversation.
And we were talking today to Dr. Robert Carter. He is a fellow at Creation Ministries International, creation.com. And as you can tell, we just really scratched the surface about the topic of origins from a biblical worldview. There is so much we could have said about this topic, but we just didn't have the time. But you may have the time. You're in the middle of the pandemic like the rest of us are. Go ahead and go to creation.com. Go ahead and type in the search box questions. Maybe you disagree with what we're saying. that's perfectly okay. Dialogue happens through disagreements, and through disagreements we learn what is fact and what isn't, or we learn, okay, maybe my opinion needs to be adjusted or changed. It doesn't matter. I always say, do your own research. Use the critical thinking skills that God gave you. He doesn't want us to just have blind faith. That's why he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all parts of us, the whole part of you, so you can know that what you believe is based in love and reason, in fact and evidence. So many things we could have said, we just didn't have the time. So again, go to creation.com, type in the search box, and you have access to hundreds of articles that may answer the questions that are deep in your mind that you didn't even know you had. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.